All right, so today we're going to take a deep dive into this whole idea of American power. Or maybe, should we say, the shifting landscape of American power. We hear a lot about decline these days, even collapse. But what if it's not that simple? What if what we're actually seeing is more of a transformation?
That's a really a crucial distinction. It's easy to get caught up in these declinist narratives these days, but I think the reality is far more nuanced.
Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. The sources we're looking at today really paint a picture of this transformation idea. We see it economically, militarily, even in the way global power is kind of being distributed.
Exactly. And I think it's important to remember that these shifts aren't happening in isolation. They're all interconnected.
Right. So let's start with the economic side of things. This article, The End of the American Century, A Giant with Feet of Clay, it really lays out some pretty stark realities. For example, it highlights this dramatic decline in U.S. manufacturing. Back in 1980, it made up a quarter of our GDP. Now it's barely over 10%. That's a massive, massive shift.
It is, and it's tied to this phenomenon the article calls financialization. Basically, the idea is that instead of focusing on producing goods, our economy has become more and more centered around manipulating capital. So think stocks, bonds, derivatives, all that kind of stuff. And the problem is that the system, it often prioritizes short-term profits over long-term stability.
So we're making money off of money, but not necessarily creating tangible value. I can see how that could be problematic.
It certainly raises some concerns. And one of the most glaring consequences is our skyrocketing federal debt, which has now ballooned to over 120% of GDP. So imagine if you owed more money than you earned in an entire year. It's not exactly a sustainable situation.
Ouch, that's a scary thought. And I guess it's no coincidence that this Yieldonomic model has also led to this massive concentration of wealth at the top.
The article points out that the top 1% in America now controls over 32% of the nation's wealth. And this level of inequality just creates all sorts of social, political, and of course, economic.
Okay, so we've got this economic transformation happening, but the article also talks about the limitations of U.S. military power. Even though we spend an insane amount of money on defense, something like $800 billion a year.
And that's a key point. I mean, the U.S. still has the most powerful military in the world, no question. But even with that level of spending, we're seeing diminishing returns.
Diminishing returns. What do you mean by that?
Well, think about it. The U.S. has been involved in all sorts of conflicts over the past few decades: Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria. These interventions have been incredibly costly, both in terms of money and human life, and they haven't exactly produced clear victories.
So we're pouring resources into the military, but it's not translating into the kind of dominance that we once had.
And this is becoming increasingly apparent on the global stage. We've got proxy wars like the one in Syria, rising tensions with Russia over Ukraine, and the increasingly complex situation in the Asia Pacific. It's all stretching U.S. resources pretty thin.
It's almost like we're trying to put out fires all over the world, but we're running out of water.
That's a good analogy. And this military overstretch, it's directly tied to another key aspect of this transformation we're talking about: the rise of multipolarity. I mean, it's no longer a unipolar world dominated by the U.S. New centers of power are emerging, and they're challenging the existing order.
And this is where groups like the BRICS come in, right? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they're all making their presence known on the global stage these days.
Absolutely. The BRICS nations are a prime example of this shift towards multipolarity. They're actively working together to create alternatives to Western-led institutions, and they're not afraid to challenge U.S. hegemony.
So what does this actually look like in practice? Like, what are they doing?
Well, for starters, they've established this thing called the New Development Bank, which directly challenges the dominance of the IMF and the World Bank. And they're forging these bilateral trade agreements that bypass the US dollar. They're creating a whole new system, really.
That's a bold move. It sounds like they're trying to reshape the global financial system from the ground up.
They are. And then you've got China's Belt and Road Initiative, this massive infrastructure project that's reshaping global trade routes and forging new partnerships all over the place. It's clear that they have a very different vision for the future of global trade and development.
And all of this is happening while the U.S. is grappling with its own internal challenges.
Precisely. It's almost as if the world is moving on, whether the U.S. is ready or not.
So what does this all mean for the future of global power? And more importantly, what does it mean for us, for everyday people? We'll dig into that right after this.
And this kind of brings us to a point that's often oversimplified in the media, this whole democracy versus autocracy narrative. The article we're looking at argues that framing things this way actually misses the bigger picture.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's like we're trying to fit these complex global dynamics into this neat little box, good guys versus bad guys.
Exactly. And what we're really seeing is a competition between different models of governance and development. And each has its own, strengths and weaknesses, its own successes and failures.
So maybe instead of focusing on these labels, we should be asking which system actually delivers for its people.
Absolutely.
Which system provides the most opportunity, the best quality of life?
Right. And if we're being honest, the US-led model, especially in these recent decades, hasn't exactly been a shining example. I mean, we've already talked about wealth inequality, the decline of manufacturing, this over-reliance on financial speculation.
Yeah, and these issues aren't just theoretical, right? I mean, they have real-world consequences for people all over the globe.
Precisely. These trends are impacting jobs, access to resources, even political stability in many parts of the world.
So it's no wonder then that these alternative models are gaining traction, as the article points out.
Right. We're seeing this resurgence of interest in state-led development, especially in regions like Asia and Africa. These models tend to prioritize things like infrastructure development, investing in technology, and creating these, social safety nets.
And they're not just tinkering around the edges either. They're actively challenging the dominance of Western institutions.
The new development bank, which was set up by the BRICS nations, is a perfect example. It offers a different way for developing countries to access funding without the same conditions that are often imposed by, the IMF or the World Bank.
That's huge. I mean, those conditions have often forced countries to adopt policies that benefit foreign investors at the expense of their own citizens.
Exactly. So there's this growing push for economic sovereignty, for nations to have more control over their own destinies.
And it's not just about economics either, is it? I mean, this shift is also playing out in the realm of technology.
Absolutely. Countries like China are making these massive investments in artificial intelligence, 5G, other cutting-edge technologies. They're not content to just be consumers of Western tech. They want to build their own ecosystems, set their own standards.
So it's a whole new landscape out there, and the US is facing some pretty tough questions. Can we adapt to this? Can we compete?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The article suggests that the U.S. is at a crossroads. Will we cling to these old paradigms and try to maintain this unipolar world that's clearly slipping away?
Or will we embrace this transformation?
Hmm.
Recognize that a multipolar world doesn't have to be a threat. It could actually present new opportunities for collaboration.
That's the real challenge here, because it requires a shift in mindset, a willingness to let go of this idea that the U.S. always has to be in the driver's seat.
It's almost like we need to learn how to be a good partner, not just a dominant force.
Exactly. And honestly, that's not something that comes easily to a nation that's, used to being at the top of the heap.
It all feels pretty unsettling, to be honest. I mean, the world we thought we knew is changing right in front of us.
It can be unsettling for sure, but it's also incredibly dynamic and full of potential. A multipolar world, if we navigate it right, could actually be a more stable world, a more equitable world.
More stable? How so?
Well, think about it. With multiple centers of power, no single nation can just dictate the terms of global engagement. Decisions have to be made through negotiation, through compromise.
But doesn't that also increase the risk of conflict? What if these new power blocks, just can't agree?
That's a legitimate concern. I mean, there's always the potential for increased competition and tension. The danger is that we fall back into this Cold War mentality with the US and China as the main protagonists, and other nations are forced to choose sides.
Yeah, we need to break free from that kind of zero-sum thinking. It's not sustainable.
I agree. The global challenges we face today, climate change, pandemics, inequality, they demand global cooperation, not confrontation.
So this isn't just a geopolitical chess game then, right? These shifts have real-world consequences for people's lives our lives.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important for all of us, not just policymakers and experts, to engage with these issues, to think critically about the choices being made, the systems being created, mm-hmm. to demand solutions that benefit everyone, not just a select few.
This is where our listeners come in, right? This isn't just something happening out there. It's affecting us all.
Exactly. And we all have a role to play in shaping this new world order. What are your thoughts on these competing visions of the future? Do you see a path toward a more just and sustainable world? We want to hear from you.
So what are some concrete ways people can get involved?
Well, first and foremost, stay informed. Don't just rely on headlines or sound bites. Dig deeper, explore different perspectives. There are some incredible resources out there, books, articles, documentaries that can really help you understand the complexities of these global shifts.
And don't be afraid to get involved in your own communities. I mean, there are likely local organizations that are working on issues related to global development, trade, or sustainability. Volunteer your time. Donate to causes you believe in. Start conversations with your friends and family.
It's all about taking those small steps that collectively can create real change. Remember, this isn't just about observing the world. It's about actively shaping it.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
From the decline of U.S. manufacturing to the rise of the BRICS.
Yeah.
This whole idea of a multipolar world kind of in the making, it feels like we're at a real crossroads.
I think what's so fascinating is how all of this really challenges this narrative we've heard for so long, this idea of American exceptionalism.
Right. For decades, the U.S. has been seen as the indispensable nation.
Yeah.
You know, the leader of the free world. But as we've been discussing, this new reality really forces us to question that assumption.
It invites us to consider the possibility that other nations with their own unique values and priorities might actually have something valuable to contribute to the global order.
It's like we've been stuck in this old movie where the U.S. always plays the hero, and now we're seeing a new script being written, one with a much more diverse cast of characters.
Exactly. And this new script probably won't be a Hollywood blockbuster with a clear-cut happy ending. It's more like a complex, multi-layered drama with unpredictable twists and turns.
But that's also what makes it so fascinating, right? I mean, it's not about predicting the future. It's about actively shaping it.
And that's where you, our listener, come in, because this transformation, this isn't just happening out there on the global stage.
Yeah.
It's affecting all of us in our daily lives.
Absolutely. Whether it's the price of goods at the grocery store, the jobs available in our communities, or even the information we consume online, these global shifts have very, very real local impacts.
So we encourage you to stay engaged, stay informed, and think critically about the role you want to play in this unfolding drama.
Because this isn't a spectator sport. This is about the future of our planet, and we all have a part to play in shaping it.
Will the U.S. adapt to this new reality, or will it cling to a fading paradigm?
Yeah.
Will emerging powers use their newfound influence responsibly, or will they repeat the mistakes of the past?
These are questions that only time will answer.
Yeah.
But one thing is certain: the world is changing, and the old certainties are no longer valid.
So let's embrace this transformation, not with fear, but with curiosity, with a willingness to learn, and with a commitment to building a more just and sustainable world for all.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning, keep exploring, and keep the conversation going.